I realize that that song is my, is that first song we sang is my message in a nutshell. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those are bright. They're more or less at different times. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Because we got a lot to cover. Amen. We're going to begin in Psalm 34. Praise God. Psalm 34. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good to have you, as always, if you're with us online. Again, welcome to the adult Bible study part of our service tonight. Glory to God. Psalms 34, verse number 4, says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from half of my fears. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't read it. I sought the Lord, and He delivered me from all of my fears, praise God. Even though the spirit of fear, and it is a spirit, even though the spirit of fear may come against us and attack our minds, we can be delivered from all our fears. And God wants us to live a life free from fear. And that's extremely important. And actually, there's absolutely no Bible reason to ever be afraid. Now, I didn't say fear wouldn't attack your mind, but I said there's no Bible reason to ever be afraid because God has promised us. He's promised to keep us, to protect us, to provide for us, to deliver us, and give us victory over our enemy in every area and realm of life. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's no reason to ever be afraid. But that doesn't mean that fear and fear thoughts won't come against us. That doesn't mean we won't face fearful looking situations. And if you yield to fear and talk fear and act in fear, then you give place to the devil. Amen, to come in and defeat us in some way. And that's why we teach on these things. And other people teach on these things. That's why people talk about fear. Have you ever just really put it together on why the Bible talks about fear not? You know, almost over 300 times, over 350 times the Bible says, don't be afraid and fear not. And why you hear so much teaching on don't be afraid? You know, it's like when I first got turned on, I was so excited and in love with Jesus and in love with God, and I loved the Word and thrilled with the Word and studied the Word, and I just wanted to know everything. Amen. And people would bring up stuff about this, you know, end times or Shekinah glory, and I'd want to know what all that meant, you know. And so for 2 or 3 years, I studied spirit, soul, and body just because it's a Bible doctrine, and I want to know spirit, soul, and body. But then it finally hit me one day, there's a reason you should know the difference between spirit, soul, and body. Because if you understand the difference that the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, not in your head, you have to be able to distinguish what comes out of your heart by the Spirit versus what you just make up in your head. Amen. So there was a purpose for learning the difference between spirit, soul, and body. So the reason that we learn about staying out of fear is so people will not yield to fear, regardless of fearful-looking circumstances and fear thoughts that attack our minds. Instead of yielding to those fears, we will look to God and trust in God and operate in faith so that the door will stay closed on the devil and so that God can move in and be our protector and be our helper and be our shield and be our deliverer and be our healer in the middle of trouble and crisis and problems. Amen. So yes, the world is full of fearful things, and we see that going on this week, don't we? Horrible things, ungodly things, wicked things, and things that could cause great fear. And fear thoughts will try to overwhelm us. All kinds of fears, fears of sickness and health problems, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of open spaces, fear of closed spaces, fear of lack, fear of heights, fear of the unknown, fear of flying. Actually, people don't have a fear of flying. They have a fear of falling. They're not afraid to fly. They're afraid of crashing. You know? But fear of flying, fear of having an accident, fear of terrorist attack, fear of spiders, fear of germs, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Amen. So what should we do when fear attacks our minds? Let's look at this. Psalms chapter 61. You're right there. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. We'll read verses 1 through 4, but first of all, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. In other words, when my heart is tempted to be overwhelmed. You ever been tempted to just be overwhelmed because of some problem, because of some difficulty, because of fearful events? He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Lead me something that's way higher than I am. David is in essence saying, I need something that's bigger than me. I need something that's greater than me. I need something that I can't do for myself. Matthew Henry, in his famous commentary, said, God's power and promises are a rock that is higher than we are. So there is nothing to be afraid of or overwhelmed by if, everybody say if we put our trust in Christ, our rock. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And see, in Him there is perfect peace, perfect rest, perfect provision, perfect protection. One commentary said it this way: when we ask God to lead us to the rock that is higher than we are, what we are doing is we are acknowledging that He is our refuge. You know, refuge is a place where you're safe. He is our security, and that He will protect us and shelter us. And Jesus said this, you know, He said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, you're going to experience some fearful events and some fearful times. He even warned us about some things that were coming. He warned them about the dangers of living in this earth as being a Christian. He said, in this world you shall have tests and trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The Amplified Bible says, for I have deprived it of its power to hurt you. So He says, don't you allow your heart to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, some fear thoughts are going to come to you, but when that comes, amen, go to the rock. Praise God and stand on the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then right here, all together, Psalms 56, as Pastor John says, this is a Bible study, so are you ready? Verse 56. He says, remember, you know, this is David. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. My enemies. Remember, enemies are types of the enemies we face today as Christians. The battles that you face, those are your enemies. When, you know, lack and defeat and broken relationships and sinful habits and addictions and sickness and disease, those are our enemies. And He's talking about dealing with these enemies. And sometimes that could be people who are unjustly coming against you. But look at verse number 3. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Now, bottom line, David is saying, I will not fear. And so you need to understand this. We can see it just right here the way it's written if you look at it closely. But in the light of the rest of the scriptures, he's not saying, hey, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust God while I'm in fear at the same time. No, you can't trust God and be in fear at the same time. No, what he's actually saying is, when fear attacks my mind, then I'm not going to yield to it. Verse 3, whenever I am afraid, New King James. King James says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In other words, when fear comes because of what I'm dealing with, amen, instead of yielding to it, I will trust in you. Which is what dozens and dozens and dozens of other scriptures tell us throughout the Word of God. And as we trust in God, we will not fear. If we believe that He is sheltering us and protecting us and taking care of the situation and the problem, we will not fear. So again, verse number 4 says, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. Now listen to the Voice translation, Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4, Voice translation, when struck by fear. When struck by fear, I let go, depending securely upon you alone. In God, whose word I praise, in God I place my trust, I shall not let fear come in, for what can measly man do to me? Get that again. In God I place my trust, I shall not let fear come in. When I'm struck by fear, when fear tries to overwhelm me, when fear attacks my mind, I will not let fear come in, for what can measly man do to me? Verse 11 of this same script passage, you know, Psalm 56 says, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. So what's he saying? He's saying, look, when fear is trying to come in, when fear is trying to overwhelm you, when fear is trying to grip you, when circumstances try to strike fear in your heart, don't let fear get in. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Don't let it in, but put your trust in God, amen, and declare that you will not be afraid. Glory to God. So let's read Psalm 56 in that light now. Go back to verse number 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow. Notice swallow. The sickness is trying to swallow you up. The financial difficulty is trying to swallow you up. The mental problem is trying to swallow you up. The addiction is trying to swallow you up and control your life. Whatever you're dealing with. Man would swallow me up fighting. It's fighting against you. See, this is a psalm of David when the Philistines are coming at him like a fox after a hen. They're just chasing him down, fighting against him all the time. He says, they're fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day long. There are many who fight against me, O Most High. And then again from the Voice Translation, verses 3 and 4. When struck by fear, I let go, depending securely upon you alone. In God, whose word I praise, in God I place my trust. I shall not let fear come in, for what can measly man do to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. David is saying, listen, when I'm continually bombarded and attacked by some problem and an enemy that threatens to destroy me and defeat me and to do me harm, and when fear tries to overwhelm me because of the situation that I'm facing, I will place my confidence in God. I will place my trust in God. I will place my faith in God and not fear what my enemy is trying to do to me. Let me ask you a question. If you really, really, really trust in God, therefore allowing God to help you, therefore allowing God to fight your battles. See, if you have faith in God, then God fights your battles for you. If you trust in God, then you realize He's on your side and you know that He cannot be defeated. So if you really trust in God, therefore allowing God to help you and be on your side and fight your battles for you, will you ever lose a battle? I mean, if God's fighting your battle, will you ever lose? Say 1,000 times no. And if you shouted it as loud as you could, that wouldn't do it justice. No, 1,000 times no. Amen. Hallelujah. If God be for us, Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Amplified Bible says, if God is for us, who can be successfully against us? The Amplified Classic says, who can be our foe and defeat us if God is on our side? Well, listen, God is always for us. And God is always on our side. That's the whole point of Romans 8 when you read that. You know, I read just that one verse, verse 31, but if you read the verses before that and the verses after it, you'll see that the point he's making is God is for you. God's on your side. That's why he's saying, if God be for you, who can be against you? But you see, he can't fight our battles for us unless we stay out of fear and place our confidence in him. You get that, right? You understand that. Even though he's for you, he can't fight your battles for you if you're operating in fear. He can only fight your battles for you if you're operating in faith. That's why all these scriptures are saying, stay out of fear, stay out of fear, stay out of fear, stay out of fear. Amen. Yeah, but that looks so scary at times. I know. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. When fear bombards and attacks my mind, don't let fear in, but trust in the Lord. And he'll be your shelter and he'll be your protector. Can you say amen? And that's truth found throughout the Bible, the entire Bible. When God fights your battles for you when you operate in faith. When you operate in fear, you in essence tie God's hands. And so one of the greatest reasons, not the only reason, but one of the greatest reasons we should never yield to fear is because God is with us, God is for us, and God is on our side. Everybody say, God is on my side. Amen. He's with you and for you, and he's on your side to help you, to protect you, to be a shield to you, and defeat any and every enemy that would come against you. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just put a few of these scriptures, many, many, many scriptures throughout the Word of God that tell us that God is on our side, or that tell us why we should not fear. And they over and over again, they say, don't be afraid because God is with you. God's on your side. God is fighting your battle for you. And so let me just give you a few of these. Let's put them back to back together. Just a few of them. Going all the way back to Isaiah 26, 24. Talking to Isaac, it says, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. For, in other words, this is the reason you don't fear. For, because I am with you. Well, if God is with you, should you ever be afraid? Amen. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And then in Deuteronomy 21, he's talking to the people about when they go to war against their enemies. Sometimes you go to war against your enemy, don't you? Your real enemy, the devil, and the things he brings to your life to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness, disease, failure, mental, emotional problems, addictions, you know, unfruitfulness, unsuccessful. All those things, family problems, sickness and disease. He says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, well, that'd tend to overwhelm you, wouldn't it? You got an army of 10, they got an army of 150. If you're a Navy SEAL, when you get those kind of odds, you know what they do? They retreat, dingbat. They don't stand there and fight those guys, they retreat. And he says, so when you find one, do not be afraid of them, for, because the Lord your God is with you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then he says in Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8, be strong. He's talking to the people, specifically giving instructions to Joshua. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Does that sound familiar to you? Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God is on my side and God is with me, then who can stand against me? No one, ever, as long as I stay out of fear. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. And then specifically to Joshua, in Joshua 1:9, the Bible says, have I not commanded you, talking to Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for. What do you think the reason he's going to give him is? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. God is the one who's delivering me. He's my, you know, he's the one saving you from all your enemies. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for. Hallelujah. Yah, or the Lord God, or Almighty God, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Isaiah 43, verse number 1. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. He's talking about flood waters. How many of you know when a storm comes, it's the floodwaters that kill them? The wind doesn't come and just blow somebody down and kill them. It's the floodwaters. It's the storm. It's the surge. That's what kills people. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, when you walk through hell, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Verse number 5, fear not. For I am with you. Everybody say, I believe it. I believe it, don't you? Praise God, hallelujah. And then in Jeremiah 1:8, it says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you. To do what? To deliver you. He's not with you to pat you on the hand while the enemy defeats you. No, he's with you to deliver you. And then even the wonderful passage that we all love, Psalm 23, verse number 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You know, the valley of the shadow of death was a real place, a real passage in David's day and when they wrote the Psalms. Amen. The valley of the shadow of death was a place where shepherds had to take their flocks, and it was a place of robbers and thieves, no law enforcement whatsoever. It was very dangerous. People were killed there. People were robbed there. People were beaten there. And it was noted for being a dangerous place. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through this valley, I will fear no evil." Why? Take a guess. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Glory to God. So if God, he's telling us over and over again, the number one reason, there are many reasons, but the number one reason we shouldn't fear is because God is with us. God is for us. God is in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, who can stand against us? No one. God is on our side. God is on your side. Praise God. So nothing could come against us that's too big or difficult for our God. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. But we must stay out of fear and stay in faith so that he can fight for us. Now here's an interesting scripture. I want you to notice this very carefully. Proverbs 28:1. They'll put it up for you. Proverbs 28:1. Glory to God. Proverbs 28:1. I want to read it, put my eyes on it. So, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." When someone is running, even though nobody's chasing them, their life is being motivated by fear. I mean, that's the epitome of being paranoid, don't you think? I mean, nobody's even chasing you and you're running. Amen. That person's afraid. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. The problem is sometimes the righteous don't know and act like they're righteous. They don't act like God loves them. They don't act like God accepts them. They don't know and act like that God is with them and for them and on their side and ready to fight for them. So they also in fear act like people, they in fear, let me give you a different take on this, just acting like somebody's always out to get you. That's kind of running for no cause, isn't it? I mean, you never even walked into the room before and you walk in there thinking, they're all out to get me. They're all out to cheat me somewhere. They're all out to abuse me. They're all out to use me. See, the Lord helps me on this because my natural prone fleshly tendency is to go that way sometimes. So the Holy Ghost and Margaret really help me in this area sometimes. Everybody's not trying to cheat you, Brother Mark. She never calls me Brother Mark. But People in fear yield to rejection when nobody's rejecting them. They act on all kind of irrational thoughts and act as though, what it really boils down, because you could talk about this a long time, but they act as though God doesn't love them and God doesn't accept them. They act like God is against them and out to do them some kind of harm. God's not out to hurt you. God's not out to get you. God doesn't have any evil plans for you. He only has a good hope and a good future and good plans for you. Amen. Amen. They act like people are against them and out to do them some kind of harm. So when you recognize that type of thinking, trying to influence your life, then you need to recognize it for what it is, fear. Because if you stay out of fear, you keep the door closed on the devil. But if you get in fear, then God can't fight your battles for you. Amen? So don't let it in. Don't let it overwhelm you. Don't let it take root in your life. You'll end up with low self-esteem and you'll feel rejected and ashamed and guilty all the time, and that'll work against you. It won't help you. Everybody's not rejecting you. Everybody's not out to get you. Everybody's not against you. Everybody's not out to cheat you and hurt you in some way. And don't think, well, I just can't trust anybody. That's not true. I see a whole room full of people I'd trust my life with. I see a couple. No, I'm teasing. Amen. So believe and say, God is for me, not against me. Say that. Say, God is for me. Not against me. God's not against me. That's a wonderful revelation. God's not against me. God's not against me. The whole world's not against me. Believe and say, I have favor with God and I have favor with people. I don't believe they're back there cheating me when they're working on my car. I believe they're back there working in my behalf and helping me and doing a good job and doing their best for me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Believe and say that God is on your side and out to do you good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get around Gary Dalton. When you say Gary Dalton, I say, how you doing, Gary? He said, I'm highly favored and blessed and good looking. Sometimes he says it a little different than that, but he always says, I make that confession almost daily. I praise God for it. I say, in my prayer life, I say, thank God I have favor with you and favor with man. I've got favor with you and favor with man. And when I act like I don't have favor with man, Margaret reminds me. Praise God. I said, praise God. Now turn to 1 Samuel. This is a lot of things you can teach on 1 Samuel with David and Goliath, but relative specifically to what we're talking about, the devil wants to overwhelm you with fear. He wants to bombard your mind with fear. But don't let it in. Don't yield to it. Stay in faith. That way God will fight your battles for you. So you know the story, but let's look at it here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, first part of verse number 1. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. You know, the Philistines were just as much of a pain as Hamas and Hezbollah is to Israel today. And that day, that's what we're talking about. This was maybe more. Because this lasted not just the last 50 years, but for hundreds of years. They gathered their armies together against Israel. Amen. Verse number 2 says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they camped in the valley of Elah and drew up a battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was somewhere around 10 feet tall. That's pretty big. And he was a bad dude. Amen. So verse number 8 says, then he stood and cried out. This is Goliath. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were greatly afraid. He was intimidating, to say the least. And he challenged them and he threatened them. And this is what the enemy does. This is what he does to you and to me today in our lives, whether it's about our finances or about our health or about our family or whatever. He comes with intimidating words, negative words. He blows himself up real big, you know, and with all kinds of circumstances and suggestions, and he wants to terrify us. Why? Because he wants us to get into fear and not trust in our God. Because if we are trusting in our God, then he is a defeated foe. But if we are not trusting in our God, then he wins the battle. As long as we keep trusting God, he cannot defeat us. But he wants to overwhelm us. He wants to shake us. Amen. And he tries to do that through giant-looking problems and giant-looking circumstances and giant-looking obstacles. Again, why? Why does he want to do that? So that we will get in fear. Do you understand? That's how he defeats us, by getting us in fear. If he doesn't get us in fear, he can't defeat us. So it's not just wanting you to whatever, but you know, and of course fear and doubt and all those things are cousins. They all go together. But he wants you to get in fear. So when fear comes to us, we can let it in and yield to it, or we can let it go. Or excuse me, we can let it in and yield to it, let it get a hold of us, or we can refuse to yield to fear and remember God's word and remember his promises and keep trusting in him. Because can 100 Goliaths defeat a person who has God on their side? Does it matter how big the giants are if God is on your side? See, we know that, we acknowledge that. But again, the key is, but if I'm operating in fear, I'm acting like God is not on my side. I'm acting like God is not with me. I'm acting like God will not fight my battle for me. And when I act like that because I believe that, then he's not fighting my battle for me. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we read down on this story. You know the story, but as you read down on this story, verse number 24 says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that's Goliath, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They weren't just afraid, they were dreadfully afraid. Other translations say they were in great fear. Well, you know the story, because I don't have time to go into that tonight, but you know the story. David's a teenager. He's just a teenager. He knows that he has a covenant with God, and he knows that God is with him. And so he's very bold toward Goliath. Remember, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. And you read it for yourself. He makes some very bold statements toward Goliath. Here he is, just a young teenager, not skilled in, well, he is skilled because, he killed a bear and killed a lion, but mostly he was skilled in trusting in his God. And so he's not a trained soldier. And here's this giant of a man who's a trained soldier. But David is very bold with him. And so with great boldness and confidence and faith, glory to God, he goes out against Goliath and defeats him. Because he's not the one really defeating Goliath. It's God through him and in him defeating Goliath. And Goliath can never defeat David or any other of those soldiers. Saul or any of them could have done the same thing David did. But they couldn't because they were in fear. But David stayed in faith. Because faith, you see, very simply, is the reciprocal of fear. It's the inverse of fear. It's the opposite of fear. Amen? It's the reverse of fear. In other words, it works exactly like faith does, except it's totally the opposite. Faith works in God's kingdom. Fear greases the devil's kingdom. It's the reciprocal. That's a good word. Glory to God. And so, his faith, David's faith, his staying out of fear, made him undefeatable because God is undefeatable. Because if you don't get in fear and you continue to trust in God, then God is with you and in you and for you and fighting your battle for you, and you cannot be defeated when God's fighting your battle for you. Amen. Glory to God. And again, you should read that. I know you've read it in the past, but you should go there and read these things that David said to Goliath. I don't know if I can find one. Oh, here's one. The Goliath just kind of made fun of David and said, "Who are you?" And David said in verse 36, "Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." That's David talking to Saul, I think, there. "Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said, you convinced me, brother. Go do it. Amen. You got me believing. And so the Philistine said to David in verse number 43, "Am I a dog that you come to me with a stick?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give you flesh, your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said, "The righteous are bold as a lion." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And not only did David defeat Goliath, but after he defeated Goliath, the Philistines' hearts melted. They got in fear. The children of Israel got out of fear and got in faith, and God wrought a great, great victory over their enemy, the Philistines, that day. Amen. And then the next day on MEC, Tlaib was there criticizing, you know, and crying because the Philistines were treated so badly by the Israelites. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Oh my God. Psalm 124. I can't, the light doesn't light up anymore back there, Matthew. I can't tell what time it is. Psalm 124. A couple of last scriptures. I got a watch on, but people always criticize preachers when they look at their watch. Psalms 124, verses 1 through 5. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters, the flood waters, would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. In other words, we would have lost our lives. That's what that means. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But the reason that didn't happen was because the Lord was on their side and they knew it. They knew the Lord was for them and they refused to let fear get in, and that's why they were not defeated. And then look at Psalms 46. Glory to God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. What does it mean if God's a very present help? Amen. That means he's always there. He's always there. He's always with you. He's always for you. He's always there and ready to help you. God is a present help. God is with me. God is for me. God is in me. He's always right here. He's on my side. If God be for me, who could successfully defeat me? Nobody. So, he is a very present help. Therefore, he says, we will not fear. And so he's our refuge and strength. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas. Now, you know, some things are going to happen in the end of times, like we were talking about, Michaela, where mountains are thrown into the sea, and there's going to be some cataclysmic things that happen in the heavens. But I don't think you have any kind of problem in your life right now that's reached that level, do you? Where mountains are falling, it may feel like it to you, though. But he says, look, and even if the mountains are being thrown into the seas, and though the waters roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with this swelling, we will not fear, because God is a very help, a present help in trouble. He is in us and he is with us. Verse number four, yes. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Praise God. The Lord of hosts is with us. Everybody say, God is with me.
God is with me.
The God of Jacob is my refuge. Say that. Say, the God of Jacob is my refuge. A very present help in trouble. Therefore,
I will not fear.
And if you don't fear and you remain strong and trusting in God and believing God's word and so forth, then the devil cannot defeat you. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So yeah, we all. It's very real when we face some trying times. Some you know, you get some bad news and fear thoughts can attack your mind, and you can face some extremely fearful looking situation. You can face some Goliaths in life. Everybody does Goliaths in life. Everybody does from time to time. But what you have to do in those moments is say, when my heart is overwhelmed, when the devil's trying to just bombard my mind, I will not fear. I will not fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will rest in the promises of God, and I will not be defeated. I cannot be defeated because God is with me. God is for me. He's on my side, and He's fighting my battle for me. Amen. You know, one of Brother Copeland's daughters faced a very, very, her child faced a life-threatening situation. Brother Copeland immediately flew back into town. I won't go into great detail here, but it was life-threatening. And her other sister said when the doctor gave him all the news, which was terrible news and didn't give him much hope and so forth, he said when she walked out of the room, you know, here's you know, she's got all her dad's teaching, and of course they're Bible teachers themselves and so forth. But what she said to her daughter was, "I refuse to get in fear about this situation." That was her words. "I refuse to get in fear." See, so it's not just talking about, you shouldn't fear because God tells you not to fear. Amen. But I don't have to be afraid because God is for me. God is with me. And if I keep the door closed to fear, then the devil has no access in my life to defeat me or hurt me or steal, kill, and destroy. And that's powerful stuff. That's good stuff. And that's the truth. And that's the Word of God. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen, 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 amen. Well, we love you so much. Good looking group. Praise God. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.